December 12th, Venerable Innocent of Cusa, Confessor, First Order. Innocent Calderero, a Sicilian by birth, showed signs of his future sanctity when he was still a boy. He loved seclusion, and while other boys were busy at play, he would withdraw to some quiet place and pray. As a young man, he entered the Franciscan order as a lay brother, and soon proved to be a model of virtue. His love of solitude was so great that he not only avoided all contact with the world, but endeavored as much as possible to remain unobserved even in the convent. Still, his virtues could not long remain a secret to his brethren. He sought at all times to sacrifice his will by preferring to do the will of another. He regarded obedience to his superiors as the guide of his least action. If the choice was left to him, he always picked what was the more lowly and uninviting. By fasts, scourgings, and other rigorous penances, he vanquished the evil spirit, who tempted him often and severely. As a reward for his fidelity and diligence in striving for perfection, he was frequently favored with apparitions of our Blessed Lady, and with intimate association with the holy angels. He fostered special devotion to the great Saint Anne, and often sought help from her in his trials and tribulations. His life was a continual preparation for death, the place and the time of which were revealed to him many years in advance. After serving God in the religious state for 52 years, he departed from this life at Rome in 1631, when he was 74 years old. Immediately upon his death, all Rome hastened to view his remains and to pay him respect. At first, he was laid to rest in the choir of St. Peter's in Montorio, but in 1653, at the request of the pious Empress Eleanor of Austria, and with the approbation of Pope Innocent X, his body was transferred to the Franciscan Church of St. Francis across the Tiber. At the process of his beatification, which was introduced by Pope Innocent XII in 1692, 290 reliable witnesses testified under oath to the sanctity of his life, and many to miracles wrought at his intercession. However, his cause is still pending in Rome. On Prayer for the Living. Like Venerable Brother Innocent, we should pray much and often. We should pray for ourselves, we should pray for the faithful departed, who can no longer help themselves. And we should also pray for our fellow men who are still living among us, especially for the sick, the afflicted, and the oppressed. St. James admonishes all, "Pray for one another that you may be saved." James 5:16. The closer our association is with anybody, or the more we are indebted to him in gratitude, the greater is our obligation to pray for him. Parents, brothers and sisters, and benefactors have, therefore, a special claim on our prayers. But we may not exclude any fellow men from a share in our prayers, not even our worst enemy. Have you been faithful to this obligation of prayer? We should also recommend ourselves to the prayers of others, especially of devout and God-fearing souls. In his epistles, St. Paul often recommends himself to the prayers of the faithful, and God himself told the friends of Job, when they had sinned in speech, to recommend themselves to the prayers of this just sufferer. Prayers said for us by someone else more readily incline God to help us, for they are prayers prompted by charity. Above all, the intercession of a just soul is helpful, for the prayer of a just man avails much. James 5:16. On the other hand, nobody may hold himself excused from the common duty of prayer because he has recommended himself to the prayers of others. Remember that God's promise to hear our prayers is attached, first and foremost, to our own individual prayers. For everyone who asks receives. Matthew 7:8. All things whatsoever you ask when you pray, believe that you shall receive, and they shall come unto you. Mark 11:24. Recommend yourself, therefore, to the prayers of others, but do not neglect to pray for yourself. Consider that we should pray especially for those on whom the general welfare of mankind depends. The general welfare is each one's particular welfare as well. Therefore, the Apostle writes, I desire, therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in high station, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all piety and chastity. 1 Timothy 2:1. He who prays for the temporal and spiritual authorities prays for himself and all those who are entrusted to their care. The time you spend in such prayer is not lost to you. Prayer of the Church. Almighty and everlasting God, who alone workest great marvels, send down upon thy servants and the flocks entrusted to them the spirit of thy saving grace, and that they may please thee in truth, pour forth upon them the continual dew of thy blessing. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.